Psalms 122, we'll read this psalm, nine verses, and then we're going to preach a message entitled "A Biblical Response Towards the War in Israel." I've, of course, received through text and in person a lot of people inquiring about the situation over there and what my opinion is on it, and do I have some news, and also some that have come and shared with me some of the things that you're reading and updating me, and I appreciate that. But you know what? When anything happens, I want to immediately think in my mind, what is my biblical response to this? What kind of a response does the Bible teach me to have concerning any event in life? And so I hope this is a help to you and give you some good information, a biblical response towards the war in Israel. Let's all stand. Psalms 122, verse number 1. The Bible says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. There are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David." Notice verse 6, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good." Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we take a look at the Bible, we'll be reminded of many things, dear God. There's certain things that we should do and I think are commanded to do in response to what's going on right now. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be obedient to what the Bible says to do. I pray for our country, Lord. I pray for the leadership of our country, dear God, that there would not be a group that rises up that persuades our country to turn its back on Israel. And Lord, I pray that we would stand with Israel, Lord, not only during this time, but, Lord, as we have historically, traditionally done. Lord, I believe that much of the blessing upon the United States of America is a result of that. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'll give us good instruction tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Let me catch you up on kind of a summary of what's been going on over in Israel. For those of you that may not be as informed or well-read on this, but there has been ongoing fighting after Hamas launched an attack on Israel on October 7th. So we're about a little over a week into it. What I'm going to read is 2 days old, so it's not completely up to date. But this was the report as of 2 days ago. At least 1,300 people have died and 3,227 others have been injured in Israel after the militant group Hamas launched an unprecedented incursion from air, land, and sea on October 7th, Israeli authorities said. In Gaza, at least 2,228 people have been killed in retaliatory strikes from Israel, with another 8,744 more injured, according to the Palestine Ministry of Health, with those numbers expected to climb. Tensions are high with the prospect of ground war and evacuation orders for Gaza after the Israel Defense Forces called for, quote, all residents of Gaza City to evacuate their homes and move south for their protection early Friday, said residents should move and settle in the area south of the Gaza River. The announcement was made, according to the IDF, Israel Defense Force, because it plans to operate significantly in Gaza City in the coming days and wanted to avoid harming citizens. And so that's where we're at so far. You pray for Israel. They're getting ready to launch counterattacks and ground counterattacks. This isn't an easy type of war. Folks, terrorism, first of all, let me just say this. Terrorists, at their hearts, are cowards. I'm going to say that this again. At their hearts, they're cowards. And they use an unorthodox means to try to, cause destruction. You know, the purpose of terrorism is to terrorize. And so a lot of times when you go to war with these people, they're not wearing uniforms. It's not easy to pick out who the bad guys are. They can come out of the woodwork, do their damage, go back into the woodwork and be selling fruit to you the next day. And it's really a difficult type of a situation. Israel, of course, is being criticized. Imagine that, you know, by people who aren't living over there and aren't having to deal with the consequences of this. But this entire mandate that they're sending out, encouraging innocent civilians to leave Gaza City, is because they intend to go back in there and eradicate Hamas. That is their stated purpose. Say, preacher, I think that's an overreaction. Stay with me. You're going to learn some things tonight and learn that it's not an overreaction, okay? And so we'll talk more about that. All right, America's involvement, the USS Eisenhower carrier strike group is to move to Eastern Mediterranean. It will move to the Eastern Mediterranean to join the USS Ford carrier strike group that arrived there earlier this week. U.S. officials have said publicly this week that the presence of the USS Ford carrier strike group in the Eastern Mediterranean was intended as a deterrent to Iran not to get involved in the Israel-Hamas conflict. The Eisenhower joining the Ford will increase the show of force, enhancing the message of deterrence. And when they say strike group, this isn't one ship and then another ship. This is a group of ships identified. And now we have, looks right up here, it gives us more to pray about. We'll talk about it in a minute. But now we have U.S., come on, military personnel that's being affected by this. And as always, I want to encourage our church always to pray for those that are serving in the armed forces. This is a sincere thing that we do when we take a Sunday, as we're planning on very soon, and we recognize our veterans. This is not a PR campaign. This is something that comes from the heart of your pastor. It comes from the heart of these people. I always feel indebted, and I'll never try to pass up an opportunity to shake somebody's hand and thank them for their service. Matter of fact, I already mentioned this once, but we're planning, Lord willing, that this coming Memorial Day weekend, as many of you that would like to go, I want you to be involved with it. But we're going to go out Memorial Day weekend, as we've done a couple other times, and we're going to go to Washington, D.C., man the war memorials, and carry out what we call an Operation Thank a Vet operation there, and just shake the hands of veterans and thank them for their service and gift them a copy of Ron Allen's book, Grace Will Lead Me Home, that gives a clear plan of salvation. And so, of course, it's evangelistic, but also it's just the right thing to do as Americans. And so we need to pray about that. Now, here's sad news. 29 Americans now confirmed dead in Israel. And again, that was of 2 days ago. It may be updated now. 29 Americans have been confirmed dead in Israel, according to a State Department spokesman. Additionally, 15 U.S. citizens and one lawful permanent resident of the U.S. are still unaccounted for, the spokesman said. State Department personnel have been in contact with their families. The spokesman said in a statement, the U.S. government is working around the clock to determine their whereabouts and is working with the Israeli government on every aspect of the hostage crisis, including sharing intelligence and deploying experts from across the United States government to advise that the Israeli government on hostage recovery efforts. And so even though some are unaccounted for, it is believed that some of these that are missing are being held hostage. Folks, I'm sorry, but to Jerry Ross, this just became a lot more personal, okay? You know, you want to continue on your craziness over there. I know it's been going on in the Middle East for centuries, and the only one that's ever going to stop what's going on the Middle East is when the Prince of Peace comes back and sets up his rule and reign. But folks, again, you know what? I want to foster within our churches in our families, in our young people, in your hearts. I want to foster patriotism. I'm tired of being criticized for being pro-American. I'm tired of people that think that Make America Great was a bad slogan. I don't care really what you care about, what you think about Trump went one way or another. To be attacked because you're running on a platform to make America great. Listen, folks, I'm an American. We ought to root for America. We ought to love America. We ought to do everything we can to advance the causes in America. And we should never apologize for being patriotic. Hey, look up here, young people. I know you watched a lot of nonsense over the last handful of years. But anytime the national anthem is played, you know what? You get up on your feet. If you're wearing a hat, you take it off. You put your hand over your heart. And that is out of respect for our country, but folks, mostly it's out of respect for the hundreds of thousands of Americans that gave their lives so that you could have the freedom that you have. And now Americans are involved in this. And I'm having a hard time with some of our presidents and members of Congress that over the last several years have allowed Americans in foreign countries to be killed, to die, and we just kind of sit on our hands and don't do a thing about it. That bothers me. Okay? I mean, I watched Ronald Reagan, and again, you can have your opinion about the president. I think probably the one great president in my entire lifetime was Ronald Reagan. But I know this, Jimmy Carter, come on, sat there and twiddled his thumbs and didn't know what to do with the hostage situation. But isn't it interesting that the day after Ronald Reagan was sworn in, they decided it'd be a good idea to release our hostages over here. And we do need someone in the White House that garners respect, come on now, and who the rest of the world knows that what they say is what they mean. Amen. And it's also nice if they were able to work more than 6 hours a day. That would be nice also. But all of a sudden, we've got a situation here, folks. Now, this I'll be careful with. But human rights groups are collecting evidence of war crimes by Hamas terrorists against Israeli citizens. Hamas terrorists against Israeli civilians so far. Civilians, folks. So far, at least 150 Israelis, most of them apparently civilians, were kidnapped by Hamas gunmen and stolen across Israel's border with Gaza. Among the kidnapped are elderly women and small children. Human rights groups are tracking these kidnappings as evidence of war crimes. And these are war crimes, folks. These are war crimes. Within hours of the attacks on Saturday, photos and videos began to circulate showing the mass murder of Israeli citizens, including people killed in their cars, left dead on the ground on the streets and at bus stops, as well as the kidnapping of children, young women, and the elderly. Two widely circulated videos have sparked outrage because of the apparent sexual assaults they depict. And folks, listen to me. When people are willing to come in and do this level of terror, and you know, these are citizens, and this goes beyond the boundaries of war. It's one thing for an armed force to engage another armed force. It's a whole nother thing to come in and take advantage of citizens and helpless citizens. Folks, I don't care what their race is or where they come from. If they do this to another group of people, you know what? Somebody needs to just step in and stop it, amen? And I do not blame Israel one bit. Hey, if this was happening in the United States of America, you know what we would expect to happen? We would expect everybody to focus all of our energies to put a stop to it and to hold account the people that were responsible for it. And so this criticism, even among some of our members of Congress, come on, where's the squad at? They've gotten awful quiet nowadays. Why aren't they denouncing this kind of nonsense? You know why? Because they hate Israel. Look right up here. And they hate America. And they should be voted out at the next election, okay? And so there we are. And this is the mess that we have. I want to say a couple things in introduction. First of all, you know, in my lifetime, this isn't the first time that Israel has faced an attack and had to go to war. And so, you know, it's easy sometimes to have an overreaction. I feel like some Christians are underreacting to it and some are overreacting to it. And the questions always are stirred. And I want to talk about this at the end of the message. Preacher, what does this tell us about prophecy and how should we view this in the light of prophecy? And I'm going to give you some real definite answers to that. But, you know, I think that we certainly don't need to overreact to it. You know, back in 1967, everybody was, sold out to the idea. Here it is. Jesus is coming back. Well, it's 2023, okay? And so this may, by the way, it may be the beginning of the end, but it may not be. And so I want to give a balanced response to that. As I've mentioned to you, the Middle East has been a hot spot of violence and wars and rumors of wars. If it's been true of any area of our globe, it's been true of the Middle East traditionally for all these many years. Okay, preacher, what can I do about it, or what should I do about it? What is a biblical response as an American Christian to what is going on in Israel? All right, number one, let's start by this. We need to pray. How about that? You know, that's a good place to start no matter what's going on in life. We need to pray. The portion of Scripture that we read gives us a Bible command in verse number 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And then notice this. They shall prosper that love thee. And remember that little phrase. We'll get back to it in a little bit. But the Bible teaches us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So I think we ought to do that. I think over the next couple of days, every American Christian ought to begin to go before the throne of grace and ask God that Israel achieves peace, that the forces that are determined to destroy them, that they would be destroyed, and that peace very soon would come back to the nation of Israel. Now, folks, if you're going to pray for peace, the peace of Jerusalem, you have to pray for victory in Israel, that the Israelites be victorious. You know why? That is the only way they will have peace. Okay? And so I passed out a little map that you can take a look at. And, you know, I'll say more about this later on in the message. But, folks, that little red nation down in the middle, that's Israel. Okay? It's hard to read this because of the yellow up here, but it says Muslim nations versus Jewish nation. And that gives you a little bit of an idea of what is going on. When Hamas attacked Israel, folks, there were celebrations going on in every single one of them Muslim nations, celebrating the atrocities that were being committed to civilians, Israeli civilians. There is a hatred, watch this, for God's chosen people. And I think that I'm going to be able to kind of unpackage that for you a little bit later on and show you why there's such a hatred. Folks, it is demonic. It is devilish. And it is predicted in Revelation chapter number 12, which we'll go see at the end of the message here. But we need to pray for Israel. You ought to pray for peace in Israel. Let me just encourage you to do this. Pray for the safety of the Jews and the Christians. There's many Christians in Israel. And Jewish innocents are being affected. Folks, when you decide that you're going to terrorize elderly people and children and murder babies, you know what? We need to begin to pray that God would protect the Jewish citizens. Christians in the Middle East, Christians in Israel itself, because folks, it's not just the saved brethren that we have in Israel that we need to pray for, but this is sending, I'm trying to be really careful here because I want to call names and I can't because we're live stream, but we have posted a letter on the back bulletin board that I would really encourage you to read after church or sometime this week if there's a line there, maybe Wednesday night. But one of our friends that's over in Israel's just sent a letter 2 days ago out, and he's boots on the ground, and he's there, and he's interacting and ministering with the victims of what's happened here, and you ought to read it, and then you ought to pray for him and his wife, okay? There's other of our friends that are in neighboring countries. They're not in Israel, but they still are facing all of a sudden a very, very dangerous situation. And so we need to pray for peace in Israel. We pray for the safety for the Jews and the Christians in Israel. And we need to pray for the American citizens, folks. We need to pray for the families of those American citizens that have been killed. We need to pray for the American hostages or the missing ones, that they are found and that they're recovered and rescued. And we need to pray for the American citizens that are still there and that God would protect them. But folks, while we're praying for peace in Israel and while we're praying for safety for the Jews and the Christians, let's pray that God uses this to turn the Jewish people to repentance and salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is giving many of our Christian friends in Israel an opportunity to witness. And folks, listen to me. You know what? You can say what you believe and what you don't believe, but what's the old saying? There are no atheists in the foxholes, you know. And during times like this gives a lot of times people that are willing to share the gospel and preach the gospel great opportunity to do so. And so pray that as a result of this, some of the hard-hearted, watch this is a Bible term, don't get mad at me, stiff-necked, hard-hearted Jewish people would realize the Messiah's already come. And you need to turn to Christ. They need to turn to Christ the same way Gentiles need to turn to Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Watch this. No man cometh unto the Father. I don't care if you're Jew or Greek, okay? Jew or Gentile. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so let's pray. Start out here. We need to pray for Israel. Pray for peace in Israel specifically. Pray for the safety of the Jewish people that are being affected. Pray for the Christians that are in Israel. And then also pray for the Christians to have great boldness so that they can present the gospel. And we'll see people that will turn to Jesus Christ. Pray that this will open the hearts of the Jews to the gospel, all right? So number one, what's our biblical responses? American Christians, we need to pray for Israel. Number two, let me say this. We need to stand with Israel. We need to stand with Israel. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm going to give you a very balanced viewpoint of this. And then I'm going to take some scripture and show you some things that we just need to be reminded of. I want to say this. There's a lot of things that I dislike about the nation of Israel. Did you notice in Psalms 122, verse number 6, it says, they shall prosper that love thee? And so I'd like to prosper. I'd like to have God's blessing on my life. So if I want that, I need to love God's chosen people. But folks, listen to me. Have you ever, come on, been commanded by the Bible to love people, and yet at the same time you have a hard time liking them? Amen? And you know what the honest truth is, if you go to the nation of Israel and if you're read up on their history, not just the history that's recorded in the Old Testament, but the history since then is, folks, listen to me, there's some things about Israel that just gives me a hard time. We need to get the gospel to them. We need to pray that they're saved. That's why we invest a portion of our missions money into Israel and Jewish missions. But look up here. Folks, listen to me. Of all the money we send, that's the least productive money that we're spending. I want to say it again. Of all the money we send, that's the least productive money that we're... It's not that no Jews are getting saved, but I will tell you this. Jewish people are hard to reach. They are very difficult to reach. Well, we've got all these missionaries to the Jews. Okay, then interview them like I have. I love to talk to Jewish missionaries. I like to talk to people that have been working with the Jews and trying to reach the Jews. You know, one of the questions I always ask them, how many genuine conversions have you seen? I'm talking about life transforming, get saved, be baptized, publicly follow Christ, and are now actively trying to reach other Jews for Christ. How many have you seen in your ministry? And the numbers are very low, folks. It's not that they're not getting saved, and some are getting saved, but I'm telling you, it's very low. Preacher, then why do we keep spending the money? Because you know what? God loves Israel. It's kind of like this. Preacher, why do you love Israel? Because God loves Israel and I love God. But if you look at them as a society, folks, think about this. We talked about this, the spirit of Antichrist. I'm going to kind of say some negative things about Israel. And you know what? They're factual. Okay? But that doesn't mean that we don't pray for Israel. That doesn't mean they stop being God's chosen people. We'll explain this when we get to viewing what's happening in the end times. But folks, you think about the spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist. All right, just by definition, what does that mean? Say, preacher, what nation do you feel like in all of the world is the most Antichrist? Israel. Israel. If you don't believe it, go over there and decide that you're going to talk about Jesus Christ. Go out there, go over there and decide you're going to witness publicly for Jesus Christ. You know what will happen within just a few days or weeks? Somebody will be knocking on your door and they'll have a machine gun with them and they'll escort you to the airport, put you on a plane, and you'll have to leave the country. They don't want anyone sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many of the people, some of our friends that are over there that are trying to spread the gospel have to do so in a manner that is really flying under, matter of fact, they have to do it in a way that's flying under the radar. And every single person that we've sent there that's not an Israeli citizen, I mean, I've told you this before, it's one of the reasons I'm a little frustrated, but it's just the facts. Somebody will surrender to take the gospel to Israel. They'll spend a couple years getting getting their support on deputation. They'll go over there. Folks, I promise you, the average one won't last 2 years over there, and they will be shipped out of the country. They've got about an 18-month to two-year window before they're found out. I don't care how they do it. I don't care which way they do it. And they're going to get found out, and they're going to be shipped back. And it's frustrating, but that is because, let me give you the point, that the spirit of Antichrist is strong in Israel. You know what? There's a lot of, not just folks, an unwillingness to embrace Jesus Christ as the Messiah, but in modern day Israel, folks, listen to me. I'm talking about their belief in the existence of Jehovah God. Do you now know that 50% Jewish people, 50% are proclaimed atheists? They don't even believe in the Old Testament Jehovah God. And because of that, because of their atheistic views and their godlessness, they are behind a lot of the spreading of satanic and destructive things that are affecting our society and even the United States of America. Say, preacher, you're putting them in a bad light. Well, you know what, folks? Read the Old Testament. The Old Testament doesn't put them in a good light. I mean, you know what? I don't know a group of people that God has poured out more grace and more blessing and more patience on. And you know what? They just can't stand prosperity. It's just their history. Anytime they go through a time where they're being blessed, you know what? Next thing you know, and they're prospering. Next thing, come on, read the Old Testament. You know how the cycle goes with the Jewish people, you know? All of a sudden, they're in a time of prosperity and peace and blessing. And that, what do? They forget their God, and they start chasing after idols and false gods. So what happens? God uses, we're going to talk about in just in a minute, God uses heathen, come on, countries to be the whip that punishes his children. And that's what he's done traditionally. Listen, these people, I'm talking about the Hamas, folks, these are wicked, wicked, wicked people. But so were the Babylonians. Okay, come on now, think about it. Well, so was every other group. So were the Midianites. So were the Assyrians. Read about the Assyrians. And so, you know what? I'm just saying that, you know, a lot of what is coming upon Israel is because of their refusal to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Folks, listen to me. When they stood there in Pilate's hall and said, "His blood be upon us and upon our children," God heard it. Okay, and I'm trying to put this into balance because there seems like in our independent fundamental Baptist movement, there's this whole idea that we're just supposed to bless Israel and bless Israel and bless Israel and bless Israel. Well, God laid before them blessings and a curse. Come on, in the Old Testament, we'll get to it. I'm getting ahead of myself, but Deuteronomy chapter 11. "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known." 50% of the Jewish population now proclaim that they don't even believe in God, the existence of God. By the way, folks, this isn't the same blessing and curse that is put before one nation. America better wake up and listen to what we're saying here. And folks, listen to me. What I'm saying is this. We need to, you say, preacher, you start out by saying, number two, we need to stand with Israel. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of things I dislike about them. Great spirit of Antichrist, spirit of godlessness there. Say, who do the Jews worship? I mean, this is not a broad brush, folks. This is pretty accurate. Money. And the love of money is the root of all evil. By the way, like I said, the same can be said about America. There's a growing spirit of Antichrist here. There's a growing number of atheistic, I mean, come on, bold in their unbelief, atheism in America. What does the average American worship? So before you want to write me off as a bigot or a racist, no, we've got the same problems. But you can't go down this road without God using judgment to try to turn your heart back. In Jeremiah chapter 30, let me read you verse 18 through 20. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded up upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be a few, and I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me. Listen, and I will punish all that oppress them. Now here's the interesting part of what God has done historically with Israel. He has unleashed on them judgment through some of the most pagan and godless and wicked countries that there are. But then if you read, come on, the prophecies in the major prophets and the minor prophets, it is God pronouncing judgment on those that oppress Israel. And so that's kind of what we're looking at here. This is God trying to get Israel's attention one more time. And again, we as the Blessed Hope Baptist Church need to pay attention to that. Well, preacher, if that's the greatest, haven for an antichrist spirit and all of this spirit of godlessness and worshiping the wrong thing and turning their back on Jehovah God, why in the world do we need to stand with them? Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, folks. And there's some Bible principles that, you know, are not going to change. God said it. He meant it. He has historically blessed this, stayed true to this. But in Genesis chapter 12, we are told something that God promised Abraham. Come on, Abram, way back in Genesis chapter 12. And America better pay attention to it. Genesis 12, verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. By the way, Israel has been a blessing to us. Folks, if it wasn't for the nation of Israel, come on, the Lord Jesus Christ came through the nation of Israel. And you know what? I'm going to share this with you in a minute. The devil's never got over that, and he hates Israel for it. And you know what, folks? Listen to me. I don't want to ever get over it either, only in a different way. I always want to have a thankful spirit because of what God says next. Notice this in Genesis 12 here. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And folks, one of the things that we have found historically, and I think, again, one of the reasons that God has blessed the United States of America is we've always stood beside Israel, and we've always tried to be a blessing to Israel. Now, you know, why did God choose Israel? They're such a mess, and by the way, they are. And historically, they've been a mess. Why has God stood with them? Why has God chosen them? He did not choose Israel because of any glory that they have. He chose Israel because it's his best opportunity to glorify himself. And I look at this map and I kind of just smile. I mean, when you look at this little red dot here, and they're a mess, but you know what? God chose them. God selected them. You say, preacher, how in the world does that little nation exist with all these people that hate their guts? You know what? Many of these nations and groups have declared that their goal is to push Israel into the sea. And yet, God has stood by Israel and protected Israel. And folks, listen to me. It's not a matter of him doing it because of what they are. It's him doing it because of who he is. And he made some promises. And God is going to keep his promise. You see, you know, so why should we stand beside Israel? We should stand beside Israel, not because of what Israel is, because of who God is, and because of the promise that he made to Abram. Matter of fact, folks, in Zechariah chapter 2, verse number 8, when the Lord is talking about the nation of Israel, he says this, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of my eye. And so, you know what, again, I will tell Hamas here, you know, not that they're listening, but if they ever tune into our website, amen. And I will tell every other group out there, and I will say this and hope that the people of the United States of America hear this. I hope this is trumpeted all over our nation. You know what, folks? Listen to me. You touch Israel, you touch the apple of God's eye, and you don't have to agree with everything they do. I don't. You don't have to like whatever they do. I don't. You know, I'm frustrated over there. The fact that they are Christ rejectors and the fact that they are now trending more towards godlessness. But folks, listen to me. That 70th week of Daniel is going to come. And you know what? God's not going to turn back to Israel because they deserve it. He's going to turn back and minister to Israel during the tribulation period because he made promises and he keeps his promise. And folks, did I talk this morning about grace and mercy? Probably the group of people that least deserve the grace of God, God is going to pour out grace on. And least deserve mercy, he's going to pour mercy on. Why? Because of who it allows us to see him as. Not because they're deserving. If they were deserving, it wouldn't be grace. If they were deserving, it wouldn't be mercy. And I read the Old Testament sometimes, and I watch this cycle over and over and over, and there's a part of me that's like, Lord, what in the world? Why don't you just wash your hands of these people? They're a mess. And God says, listen, I chose them not because of who they are. I chose them to show the world who I am. And so now, let me give you number three here, and this won't take long. We need to view this war in light of ministry. So what is our biblical response as American Christians? We need to pray for Israel. We need to stand with Israel. And we need to view this war in light of Bible prophecy. Now, folks, Matthew chapter 24, Jesus was asked about the last days. And he said, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And as we get closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be more and more of these type of things, folks. Oh, my goodness, I just talked to a preacher that was just in Arizona, and he was in a church where one of the men that is pretty up in the border patrol goes to the church, and he got into a conversation with him. And this man had some access to some of the records as far as who's coming across the southern border. And folks, listen to me. I'm going to tell you, if I read very deep into this, I wouldn't sleep nights. But he said that this man just checked the records just of two places where they keep records of border crossings. And Tucson, Arizona, and Yuma, Arizona. And he said, I just checked those two, and in 1 month, the month of February 2023, this year, just in February 2023, over 34,000 Muslims came across in those two checkpoint areas where they keep records, just in two areas. Folks, that's 34,000 in 1 month at two check stations. Now, somebody better start blowing the trumpet. Okay, these people are showing who they are over there. They hate America as much as they hate Israel. Well, maybe not quite as much, but we're right up on the list. And can you imagine such a thing? Can you imagine a president and a Congress that has the ability tomorrow to enact measures to secure our borders, and they want to say, oh, these poor Mexican people, they're just looking for an opportunity. It's just not poor Mexican people that are coming across the border. And folks, listen to me. These people, listen to me, they're showing you who they are. And again, I'm not Chicken Little, and I'm not running around saying the sky's falling, but America's being set up for something. And men, you better keep your head on a swivel. And you know, some of these things that we're talking about in Sunday night about the last days, and the balance between how much tribulation, I'm not talking about the tribulation period, but how much tribulation American Christians may have to face before the rapture actually happens. America's in line because we're just about as wicked and heathen as Israel and any other country, and we're getting in line too. And so anyway, to view this war in light of prophecy, during the tribulation period, You know what? I've got to say this, folks, though. God will turn back to his people, and there will be many Jews who embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you we'd go to Revelation chapter 12. Let's go there. And God, again, has chosen a group of people, not because of who they are and not because they're deserving. Matter of fact, they may be the most undeserving people in the world when it comes to God's grace and God's mercy. They've been given so much and turned their back on it. But folks, again, God is a God of grace and mercy, and he finds ways to display that in a spectacular fashion. And we aren't quite at Revelation chapter 12 yet in our study, but let's jump ahead and look at this. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of how many stars? Wonder who this is. Okay, 12 tribes of Israel, verse 2, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And that's, of course, talking about the coming of the Messiah. But guess who's waiting? And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of the heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon, watch this, stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Remember Herod? Remember his decree? Remember all the babies slaughtered 2 years of age and younger? She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled to the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. I don't think there's any doubt who this is, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Boy, we better get all three of those deep inside of us as last day Christians. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now, I want to finish out the chapter and read. If your mind's wandered, let's get back into it. Look at verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted who? The woman which brought forth the. And let me tell you something. The devil's never got over it. Every atrocity you've ever seen committed against Israel, you know why? The devil's never got over it. You know, I talk about how every year I read at least one book on the Holocaust. I think everybody ought to do that. I think every American ought to do that. You know why? Because, folks, it gives you a reminder of the depths of the depravity of man when he, you know what, that evil is unchecked. And we're beginning to see some of that. We saw some of that the last few years in some of our inner cities in America, where all of a sudden the authorities are handcuffed and everybody's told to just hands off and leave the situation alone. And what happened? Old people chose peace and tranquility and looked out for their brothers and their sisters. And yeah, right. No, you know what? There's wickedness in the heart of men. The heart of man is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? One of the reasons God created, okay, he created family, created the church, he created government, to be a deterrent against evil, because mankind left unchecked, there's something inside. And what's happening over there is all of a sudden a situation where nobody can stop them and they can do whatever they want, and you're watching what they're doing. Read your history, folks. Read your history. If you don't read your history, we're going to see it repeated in the United States of America. So the Antichrist, think about that, will seek to annihilate the nation of Israel for no other reason than they brought forth the man-child and they are God's chosen people. And I don't care how bad they are. I don't care how wicked they are. You know what? The devil will never get over it. And when the Antichrist comes into power, I'm going to tell you something. He's going to turn all of the forces, all of the world are going to be gathered together. I mean, what's the whole Battle of Armageddon about, folks? We can't take Israel out of that equation. Yes, it is the God haters that are gathering together. But why are they gathering where they're gathering? You know why? Because there's an entire large part of this globe that absolutely hates Israel for no other reason than they are satanic, they are demonic, and the devil's using them as pawns because he hates Israel. Now, folks, listen to me. I was very transparent with you. There's a lot of things about Israel I don't like. But God says if you love Israel, you'll prosper. And I think I said it well. Maybe I have a hard time liking Israel. Preacher, do you love Israel? I love Israel because I love God and God loves Israel. And you know what? He said that if we will stand with them, he will bless us as a nation. And folks, listen, we're watching this. And so far, the White House is saying a lot of the right things about this. But you know what? Words are cheap. We have got to stand with Israel in this. And so the Antichrist, during the tribulation period, he'll seek to annihilate the nation of Israel. The Battle of Armageddon will take place in defense of Israel. And you know what? The Bible says, if you're still there, Romans 12, verse 13, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, verse 14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness and to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. You're going to see during the tribulation period, we're going to get to this, that God is going to divinely protect his chosen people during the tribulation period. And many of them, folks, listen to me, many of them will embrace Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Notice this, verse 15, the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, and he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Listen, in supernatural ways, God is going to use the earth, his own creation, to protect his own people. I'm not sure what all that means, but I think it's going to be a wonder to see. Look at verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the who? Remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we know that in the last days many will turn to Christ because that is what's going to infuriate the devil. Well, what's our response to this? What's going on, preacher? Let's be mindful to pray. Now, it's one thing to stand here and say it. It's another thing to shake your hand and say we need to. But folks, it's another thing to really do it. And I would ask everybody to commit yourself to prayer. Let's pray for Israel. Let's pray for peace in Israel. Let's pray for victory so that they can have peace. Because if they don't have utter victory, they will not have peace. Let's pray for the Christians that are over there, some of our friends. Many of them are trying to spread the gospel. See people say, let's pray for repentance among the Jewish people that God will use this to wake them up and cause many of them to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand with Israel. And let's let this be a motivation to all of us to realize we are in the last of the last days. And folks, we need to be busy now trying to win everyone we possibly can to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for, Lord, all that the Bible contains. And Lord, we could certainly, if we'd had the time, go back and do an entire history of the Old Testament and your dealing with the nation of Israel. And Lord, thank you, dear God, for showing your greatness and your mercy and your grace and how wonderful you are in your interaction with your chosen people. I pray, Lord, for, dear God, the United States of America. I pray for American people that right now, dear Lord, I believe are held hostage. I pray for the families that are grieving over lost loved ones. Lord, I pray, dear God, for our Christian friends that are over there that are trying to spread the gospel. I pray for the Jewish civilians that are being affected by this. Lord, when I read these heartbreaking things and old women and babies being murdered and atrocities committed against innocent people, God, my heart breaks. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that this again would be used as you have used it historically to
to help Israel to turn back to you and to embrace Christ as the Messiah. And Lord, I pray that we would stand beside Israel. I pray, Lord, we'd get excited about the idea of your soon return. I pray, Lord, that this week we'll pass out tracts and invite people to church and share our testimony and knock on doors. And Lord, help this to motivate us to stay busy for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.